This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Christine Wong, and you're listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. I'm speaking to Brandon Webb, former U.S. Navy SEAL sniper, New York Times bestselling author, and founder of the Hurricane Group, a U.S.-based media and e-commerce company. Today, we'll be discussing his book, Total Focus, Make Better Decisions Under Pressure. So first of all, thank you so much, Brandon, for coming on our show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Christine.
So let's just talk about Total Focus. First of all, can you describe the basis behind you writing that book?
Yeah, I decided to write Total Focus because I'd written several books about my military experience, and I wanted to write about my experience as an entrepreneur and just the struggle of losing my first business and starting another business and that whole journey and the lessons learned.
Right, I see. So why did you decide to write your book about Total Focus?
I'm in an entrepreneur group called TO. It's an entrepreneur organization, a global organization of about 12,000 entrepreneurs. And in the New York chapter, I just saw a lot of struggle with my fellow entrepreneurs on focus. You know, they would have a little bit of success and start doing, you know, three or four other things and their core business would suffer. And I've just seen this over and over again, and think that shows up not just in entrepreneurship. And when I focused on one thing is when I really started to have success and grow my current business.
So the idea of total focus is something that you learned as, during your time in the military, and you define it as the ability to filter out noise and chaos. So how did you connect that experience to the experience of entrepreneurship?
So I was very focused in the military. You go from a very structured environment to a very non-structured environment. And I was struggling with focus outside as a civilian, trying to start several different businesses at once. And I ended up meeting an entrepreneur who became a mentor, and he really pulled me aside and said, look, you need to focus. The biggest thing I see in young entrepreneurs is this lack of focus. So, and it just hit me in the head. I said, wow, there's so many lessons that I took away from my time as a Navy SEAL sniper and sniper instructor, and these same principles can be applied to business and leadership and life outside of the military.
So can you talk to us a little bit about what those principles are?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the first one is total focus. And like I said, I see so many people that they're trying to do too many things at once. And it's just, you know, I figure it like watering a garden. If you don't water all the plants, by the time you get down to one end of the garden, the plant on the other end is already dying. So, I won't beat a dead horse on the total focus, but the principles that I cover in the book are situational awareness, so really the importance of paying attention to your environment, whether that's, you know, we live in a global marketplace today, and it's just how things affect your business. And a big example of that in my business is advertising. You know, when you started seeing the rise of performance marketing and how it was disrupting the traditional advertising, we saw our ad rates plummet, and we had to make a change. And 2 years ago, we decided to monetize our audience. We have this big male audience on my media platform, and we said we have to pivot. We added e-commerce, and now we used to be 95% reliant on ad revenue, and now we're 95% recurring revenue based off our own digital and e-commerce subscriptions. So situational awareness is important, because if you become just lazy and don't pay attention the way that the economy is today, especially on the internet, it can really take you by surprise if you can see, you know, you have a good business one day and no business the next. Another principle I talk about is a military term that we used to use in the Navy SEALs, where we would hit a target so hard and so fast with the element of surprise that the enemy wouldn't have a chance to react. And so I see the same competitive advantage with my business. An example of that is we decided to launch a new brand probably 3 months ago. So from 0 to 3 months, we're in a completely new vertical with a nutraceuticals brand that we built from scratch, and we're ready to launch. You know, the ability to act quickly and make those kind of decisions, and sometimes even failing is a lesson learned. We tried to expand one of our products in Europe earlier this year, and we just couldn't get the scale, and we ended up shutting it down. But it was a huge lesson learned. So, you know, violence of action, medicine school of excellence matters. I think holding yourself and your organization to a high level of, to a very high standard of excellence is something also I learned in the field teams, is we are capable of so much more than we think we're capable of. So building that excellence into my business, you know, high performing teams and people want to be around other high performing people. So I've created that environment where it's a fun environment. We have a purpose, but it attracts talent because we hold a very high standard of excellence. So I think excellence matters is a principle I talk about in the book. Embrace the suck is another principle. What I mean by that is so many people get dragged down because they have experienced adversity. And I talk about seeing adversity as also a chance to learn and grow. And when you make a habit out of that, when you experience adversity or problems in your life or business, you look at things on completely different perspective on taking the positive. Like, what is the positive in this situation? How can I use this as a learning experience to grow? So I think changing your attitude on when bad stuff happens is a huge, huge important, especially the self-talk that we have inside ourselves. I taught positive psychology to snipers and the Navy SEALs for a reason, because it works. And when we change from a negative teaching style to more positive teaching style that was grounded in positive psychology, and we really started teaching the students how to self-talk, because we all walk around with self-doubt. And we started saying, look, when you experience this kind of negative creep in your own head, this is how you deal with it. And so I really get into self-talk in the book, which I think is important for everyone in all walks of life, no matter what you do. Because we all deal with fear and doubt. And it's really important how we talk to ourselves and the conversations that we have with ourselves, and also who we hang out with. You know, that environment is so critical, and it's why I always strive to hang out with people that I believe in and are doing great things, because we adapt to our environment. The last one I'll hit on is lead from the front. I'm a big fan of exemplary leadership, like leading by example. There's a huge difference between being a leader and just being a boss with maybe a positional title. I think everyone listening has been in a situation where they've had a supervisor, somebody in charge of them that has that positional authority, but isn't exactly a great leader because they're just pointing the finger all the time and telling people what to do. But I'm a firm believer in leading from the front and pitching in with the team. There's not an aspect of my business that I haven't touched, from customer service to sales to content to coding. I've done it all, and I'm not afraid to roll my sleeves up and get in there. And I think that's important as a leader, to not be afraid and pitch in and do a little work. Even I hosted my annual team meeting, and we were cleaning up after, and I was the first one to grab a trash and take it out. And I think that's a good example to the rest of the team.
Yeah, I definitely think all of those issues are very good. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, especially with some of the concepts that you talk about, you know, leadership isn't just about telling people what to do. It's about, you know, making people want to do those things, and also making sure that you lead by example, like, you know, leading from the front. So I think that's really interesting. After this, we'll be discussing more about Total Focus: Make Better Decisions Under Pressure with its author, Brandon Webb. Stay tuned.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Christine Wong, and you're listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. I'm speaking to Brandon Webb, the author of Total Focus, Make Better Decisions Under Pressure. I just want to ask a little bit about some of the choices you made in terms of editorial style, because in the book, you use essentially a profile of seven people that you know. Can you share with us who you chose and why you decided to format the book in that way?
Yeah, I formatted the book in that way because I see so many books on the market in the business and self-help category that they're basically telling people what to do from maybe an academic perspective. And I really wanted to share my personal experience and other people's experiences and their personal stories. That to me is important because I, as an entrepreneur and then a CEO, I really try to aspire and learn from people that have been there and actually done the work, not just, you know, an academic coming up with a theory and talking about it. And I'm not to discount that, but it's just my preference. And so when I wanted to write this book, I said, I want to share real stories and real experiences, my own journey from losing everything. Like in 2008, 2009, I lost my entire life savings in my first business. My wife divorced me and I was left with nothing. And in fact, I owed people money. And so to build that back from zero or even negative, I wanted to share that story. And then looking at my friends and my network, people like a close friend of mine, Solomon Choi, who's, you know, Korean American, and started one of the largest frozen yogurt franchise chains in the U.S. called 16 Handles. You know, he shared his personal story. My other friend, Amit Verma, he had a similar story. Family, it's an Indian family business and in the gold and diamond industry, and how they had to pivot when the price of gold changed dramatically and they were sitting on a ton of inventory and thought they owed an amount. When the gold shipped and showed up, the price had risen so much that they were completely upside down on their inventory and had to go start melting, like advertising in the paper for people to give them their gold and melt it down. And just like the crazy stories of entrepreneurship and the people's ups and downs, to my friend Betsy Morgan, who used to be the CEO of Huffington Post. And you know, she saw when she was working at the television network CBS, she saw the shift happening in digital content. And, you know, at the time, the president of CBS told her she was crazy to leave the TV network and go work for the Huffington Post. And I think the quote was, "Who's ever going to read the news on the internet?" was what the TV executive said to her. And we all know where that ended up. So I, you know, I just wanted to share these real stories from real people. And I think that answers your question.
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of personal and professional development texts that deal a lot with the theory. And for some people who are reading, it might be difficult to relate because, you know, a lot of things are easier said than done. So I think talking about these stories and sharing these personal experiences of how people have applied, you know, some of the concepts you talk about in the book to their real lives as well is quite useful for people who want to kind of imagine how that could all play out, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I've read enough books and seen enough successful people talk to realize that, you know, the fundamentals are the same. You know, when you really dive into what makes people successful at any level in life, whatever profession they choose. And I, you know, I have my own definition of success, but it would be to be doing something you're passionate about that gives you fulfillment, no matter what that is. To me, that's, if you're doing that and you're making a living, you're successful in my book. Like you said, the stories we learn as human beings, we learn from storytelling. And when, you know, you tell these stories of myself and these different
profiles and friends that I feature in the book, like my friend Kamal Ravikant, you know, tech venture capitalist and a best-selling novelist. You know, his journey is amazing, and his story, and when, you know, the importance of storytelling, and telling stuff from a fresh perspective in a way that, and being very vulnerable, because the people that I profile in the book are, you know, have experienced hardship and adversity in their life. And when you're vulnerable and kind of share that failure and success, I think people really identify with that and could walk away from reading the book going, wow, that really affected me and I want to make a change. My friend, Osher is the host of The Bachelor Australia, and he just read my book and he messaged me on Instagram. He said, wow, I had way too much on my plate, and you really, reading this book forced me to take a look at my life and my workload and really get a lot of, like, say no to a lot of opportunities, because it's hard. A lot of opportunities come our way sometimes, and the power to say no is a powerful thing, because, you know, if you load up yourself with too much, you get overwhelmed and maybe stuff doesn't work out. And Osher reached out to me and shared this with me. It's like, your book really slapped me in the face, he said. So hopefully people will read the book and come away with some valuable lessons and tools they can apply to their own lives.
I mean, speaking of those tools, because your book is all about trying to make sure that you're focusing on what needs to be focused on, but also to make better decisions under pressure as well. What are some of those tools that people might use in order to help them achieve that kind of focus?
Well, I think I break it down in the principles that I talked about earlier, but it's really, you know, it comes down to really trying to organize around, like, figuring out, an important thing I talk about in the book is figuring out what you're passionate about. And I see so many people that are in a career that their parents pushed them into, or they just chose a career because they wanted to make money. And money, I can tell you, as someone that has made a lot of money, that it doesn't equal happiness. And so, you know, I really talk about, you know, finding your passion and your purpose in the book and how important that is. I walk around New York City and see doctors and lawyers who make a ton of money, but they're just miserable and they feel stuck and they can't make the change. And so I talk about, you know, I address that, you know, how people can get unstuck in the book, is a huge importance. I also talk about money, because I think a lot of people have it's taboo to talk about, you know, money and what your number is and really truly how much you need to capital at work to actually retire. And granted, it's different in whatever country you live in, but really understanding what your number is. Is hugely important, because if you need $5 million to live, you know, a comfortable retirement, that's a big number. And, you know, $5 million produces about $200,000 a year of passive income. And that may sound like a lot of money to some people, but if you only need half of that, it's $100,000. Well, then it's about $2.5 million that you need to save and invest. And I think those numbers, people are shocked when they hear that that's how much you have to have invested to produce, you know, passive income to retire on in your old age. But once you realize that what that number is, you can organize around it and go, wow, what opportunity or line of work do I have to be in to produce that kind of income? Because it's a huge wake up for people, like, especially in America. I see people just working, 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 and someday they're hoping to retire, but they don't even know what that number is that they need to save. And when they find out what it is and how big it is, it's a huge wake up call. So that's something I talk about in the book as well.
If someone is feeling, you know, that they're taking on too many things or that they are not sure what they're trying to do in life, what is the kind of main takeaway that you would advise them with?
Well, first, go pick up my book. But I would definitely figure out what you're passionate about. It's a lesson I learned early on in life in my first job. I was working on a scuba diving boat as a young kid, and I realized, having had a really crappy job before that one, when I got this amazing job working on the ocean, taking divers out to the island, I said, this is a fun job. Like, this is work, but it doesn't feel like work to me because I'm passionate about what I'm doing and I'm getting a lot of fulfillment and purpose. And if there's one thing I would tell people to take away, it's to really find what that purpose is, and for you or in them, and you have to dig deep. And if you're in a job that you're not happy with, I would seriously consider digging deep down and figuring out what truly makes you passionate. Because when you find that, you're going to be successful. And I'm not the first person to say this. I've interviewed for my own podcast tons of successful people, from astronaut Scott Kelly to, you know, several billionaires, and they all say the same thing. It's when you're passionate about what you're doing, it doesn't feel like work, and it gives you a sense of fulfillment and purpose, and it's then that you will have a chance at experiencing happiness and success.
All right. Thank you so much for that. That's about all the time we have. Thank you so much to Brandon for coming on our show today. I'm Christine Wong, and you've been listening to Raise Your Game. This is Enterprise on BFM 89.9. Stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.